Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
Give me two claps and a big Ric Flair whoo as the Pittsburgh Penguins advance. Never gets old. This franchise obviously has advanced through many and many rounds and has won three Stanley Cups and been to four Cup Finals. I've witnessed them all in my lifetime, but still never gets old. Pittsburgh Penguins advance. That's right, advanced through the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, defeating the New York Rangers in a best-of-seven series in only five games. Henrik Lundqvist, shockingly enough, and despite his decline this year was one of his worst years of his career, the worst overall season from an analytics standpoint since 2008, something the media has continued to beat the drum on, and I have continued to beat the drum on. But even with that said, I do not believe anybody going into this series, even with the Penguins being so mightily the favorite, would have guessed, would have assumed, and would have predicted Henrik Lundqvist would have been pulled, not even finishing, pulled in two of these games. Be that as it may, and some people can say they would have thought that, they can give me the number, sure, I'm just not going to believe you. None of you said it going in, so sorry, I'm going to call your bluff on that one. You can't jump on the bandwagon now. But Henrik Lundqvist was pulled in two of those games, and the New York Rangers started off this Game 5 red hot. They started off this Game 5 flying and with tons of effort that I'm sure Ranger fans wish they would have seen in Game 4, when despite the Penguins being so dominant with the 5-0 shutout win, the Rangers really also weren't at their best. That's why we talked about on that post-game show, did the Penguins play so well? Are you really confident with Pittsburgh? Or did the Rangers play so poor? Kind of where I was leaning, even though the Penguins obviously did play well. In this one, there's really no argument now. The Pittsburgh Penguins are at their best. The Pittsburgh Penguins are riding high. The Pittsburgh Penguins offense does seemingly pose to be unstoppable, at least so far in the playoffs. And Henrik Lundqvist and the Rangers started off decent. They started off good. But once the Penguins found their footing, once Pittsburgh found their offensive touch, once they put the biscuit in the basket, and even though it was still a close game, it seemed to get in the Rangers' heads. The Rangers looked a little bit slower then. They weren't flying any longer. And Henrik Lundqvist eventually imploded, partly also thanks to his defense, which collapsed in front of him. Game started off. Mark Stahl turned back the clock to what that Ranger team thought they drafted. And he hasn't really been the last few years in postseason series, even when the team was going to a Cup final. But ended the way he's been the last few years, which is not what they would want. And his Ranger team just really couldn't find the touch, couldn't control the puck, couldn't get puck possession, and couldn't get the tempo in comparison to Pittsburgh. Marc-Andre Fleury not around in this series, but they didn't need him. That was also part of the drama going into the playoffs. You start Murray in that meaningless game against Philadelphia. You get him hurt. You have to go to Zakhoff. You thought you would have got Fleury some in this series. You didn't. Fleury appeared more injured than some would have expected. Zakhoff got a win, played okay through the first two games, but also didn't really impress anybody in game two, and it allowed some concern once the Rangers got a win. What do you do? Did that decision by Mike Sullivan after such a tremendous half season as the Penguins head coach that some would have thought maybe give him some Coach of the Year awards, just changing that system and making them so confident and so good, best record in the league since early March under Mike Sullivan. But that one decision, some were calling for his head. Some thought that could cost you a postseason series, and that's just inexcusable. And I was one of them. I thought, why would you start Murray in that game? It was a meaningless game. Should have went to Zakov just because you didn't care about the game. The game means nothing to you. It ends up all being a moot point, kind of also to my delight, because that was an annoying drama and controversy out there that everybody kept talking about. I was on the bandwagon that the Penguins shouldn't have started Murray, shouldn't have risked him, but I was getting sick of hearing about it, and it seemed like so were many others, and now it doesn't matter because there was no Fleury. But Murray eventually returned in the series. Murray started standing on his head in the series. Murray played very, very well, more than you even probably would have expected with one shutout in there. Zakov played okay too when needed, and this Penguin team got through with the Rangers. They didn't let the Rangers linger. That's the key, too, before we bring on some callers here. That's the key on the Penguins' game five-game series win here of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I am your host, Mike Osti, and this is Radio PI's edition of the Stanley Cup playoffs post-game show right here on the Pens and Shiv Airwaves, brought to you by PensandShiv.com, PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, and our title sponsor, Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics. Also give a dab and a rub to DKPittsburghSport.com, who has sponsored us over the years here on the airwaves. But again, before we bring on that first caller, as we also can open the line, although I am kind of not normally wanting to do this, but I believe we have several people, at least with Penn's Initiative, that may call. So we'll open the line, the number 347-324-3784, 347-324-3784. So it's a rare moment to come and go toe-to-toe with me on the airwaves if you really, really want. If you don't, that's really fine, too. I probably don't want to hear from you. The key, Penguins got rid of the Rangers in five games. Lundqvist was not in his A game. This Ranger team was weaker than they've been in the past few years. They've logged a lot of playoff minutes the last couple years. They might have run out of gas. Rick Nash, a shell of his former self. Derek Brassard is now maybe their best offensive player, but that kind of also could be a negative and a criticism for you since he was a former role player now having to step up. Yandel, he really wasn't what they were expecting from that trade, even though he played well at times. Mark Stahl has never really lived up to expectations. Eric Stahl has not at all been what they thought he'd be, to be that missing piece on another cup run for New York. It's not 2006. It's not the Carolina Hurricanes. Eric Stahl is no longer going to be the best player on your team. And Eric Stahl really wasn't even a part of any semblance of success the Rangers could have had in this series, held pointless through the series. But getting rid of the Rangers in five is huge, because whatever you think of the Rangers, and some thought, okay, Lundqvist, maybe they'd still go to a deep, long series. I didn't expect that. I thought this would be a five-game series, and the Penguins would finish them quickly, handily, with how well they were playing going into the playoffs in Pittsburgh. Fleury not being there added some more questions, but Murray, once he got back in net and was standing on his head, I was back on board. The Penguins doing this in five. I felt confident going into today's game, six at the very most. But unlike, say, who they're going to meet maybe in round two, the Washington Capitals, best team in hockey this year, the President's Trophy team, even some other teams, you look at St. Louis with Chicago, Dallas with Minnesota over in the West, you want to get rid of these teams you feel you're so much better than as quick as possible. It sounds simple. It sounds common sense. But over the years, there's been teams that are mightily favored that haven't done this. Washington, I'm again looking at you. San Jose, over the years, has not done this. And they did it this year, finally getting rid of Los Angeles in five games, who they never could beat in a postseason series. They had problems getting rid of teams early, rather than having to go to seven, and if they get by the team anyway, they're exhausted and lagging, and they just look different and worse in the later round because it is a gauntlet of a Stanley Cup playoff. If you can beat a team in five, you bury them, you get rid of them, you don't let them linger through six, maybe seven games like the Capitals are doing with a team that they're much better than the Philadelphia Flyers right now, going to at least six games, maybe seven games, allow the Penguins to rest. Penguins win game five, getting rid of the New York Rangers in five games of the best of seven series. They advance to round two, 6-3 win in the decisive game five for Pittsburgh. This is the Radio PI postgame show brought to you by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractic on the Penns Initiative Airwaves, PennsInitiative.com, PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. I am Mike Osti, and you're probably going to want to hear from somebody else eventually. So we do have somebody on the line. I believe it is one of my colleagues at Penns Initiative. I believe, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe it is Michael Traeger. Am I correct, Michael, or are you with me?
You are correct, sir. That is absolutely correct.
Okay. I pronounced your name right, too, I believe, right?
Yes. It's not very important, but you got all the facts right. And the most important thing you got right thus far is the Pens were able to dispatch of the Rangers and get rid of them in five games and not letting that series draw out.
Right. That's such a key that cannot be understated for me, because there has been so many examples through the years, and even the Penguins have done this. You let a team go six, seven games, even the fans and media are sitting there saying, well, okay, we still believe we're going to win this series, kind of like where the Capitals are with Philadelphia. Most people, despite the Capitals' issues, I at least still believe they're going to get out of the series and meet Pittsburgh. But you don't want to let a team hang around. It doesn't make you better off for the later rounds if you actually want to advance, go to the Cup Final, and win a championship. And now Pittsburgh got rid of the Rangers, who they're better than, in five games, and it gives you confidence and allows you some rest and maybe get fully healthy for that second round. Big.
Well, understated, you know, and it goes along with what you're saying, is that historically, if you look at the Stanley Cup winners, almost every single one in the past 15 years has had a four- or five-game series, which means that rest means everything. One of the notable exceptions being, you know, the LA Kings, which went to seven games every single round, but they are the exception, not the rule.
Right.
And you need – basically, what the Penguins were able to do today is they did two things. They put the rest of the league on notice, saying this is not the same Penguins team that was cowering up, that if you scored first against us, we were just going to fall apart. And two, they're giving themselves – they're allowing Gino to get healthy, more healthy, I should say. You're getting Fleury, who knows, Mata. A lot of people are going to be getting that extra time to rest their bodies, get some extra practice in, and this is going to be a good team regardless of whether or not they face the Capitals or the Flyers.
Exactly. That's really it to a T. And again, I want to thank you for calling in. I know you have a lot of baby duty in your life right now. And I see that you, are you – did you buy a new house, selling a house, something like that I saw on Facebook?
Oh, no, we have – that's Ken, one of our former colleagues, Ken. Ken got the new house. We have the Puggle. We have the baby. And right now she's one for one in our playoff series. So I'm kind of rooting on her to be the good luck charm as we move forward.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that definitely work. I guess I did kind of maybe confuse you and Ken. Too many people are buying houses and getting married and getting engaged on Facebook, and I'm just living my normal life. I'm moving in the direction, but slow, and I don't mind that. What do you think the Penguins did that made them be able to get rid of the Rangers in five games? Was it simply they were just better than the Rangers, or what did they do exactly? Because they were always better than the Rangers. In terms of the roster, they didn't really change. They didn't have Fleury in any of these games. You had Zachoff, you had Murray. But up until game four, the Rangers got a win. The Rangers were getting confident. The Rangers were playing better. What changed in games four and five for the Penguins to basically wire to wire, just run the Rangers out of the building and get out of this series?
I actually think it's not so much what the Penguins did, but it's what they didn't do. If you look back the past 4 years, the Penguins were, and this is even spelled out by Carey Fraser, the former NHL referee, the Penguins were a team that would retaliate. They would take stupid, childish almost, would take stupid penalties. Gino's penalty today, it wasn't so bad, but Gino and Letang in particular just would take penalties in inopportune moments, and they were a team that opponents knew that you could rattle. You would rattle the Penguins. You'd go after Crosby, go after Malkin. You'd get the power plays. You'd score against them on the power plays, and that was a recipe for success. This year's Penguins, especially since the coaching change, they're not doing that. And their special teams, especially with Malkin back, they're on fire. A team that can stay out of the penalty box and convert on a power play in the playoffs is going to go extremely far. And that was more or less the recipe that the Penguins used to topple the Rangers, and they made Henrik Lundqvist a Hall of Fame goaltender look bad in the process.
They really did. They absolutely really did. And honestly, I've always been a fan of Henrik Lundqvist. You like to see the Penguins advance. You like to see the Penguins playing at their best. But it's a little bit a sour taste to see a legend like that get pulled two games in a series and just look miserable after what had also been a pretty weak regular season for him in comparison to what he normally puts out there in his career. He just looks lesser than he's been, and it's been a quick decline from even last year to this year. I don't know if this is the end of the line or not, but it does suck in a way to see that happen to Lundqvist. And I don't think anybody would have expected going into the series that Lundqvist was going to be pulled in two of these five games. Even if the Penguins won in five games, which I thought, I didn't think Lundqvist would get pulled in two of the five. Lundqvist still basically, you can give him the one win they had where he stood in his head in game three it was. So it's interesting that Lundqvist played as bad as he did, and the Rangers' effort was gone. It was not there in game four. They started off game five with the effort, but the Penguins still were too much. Michael, the way game five went, and even game four, and with the Penguins getting out of this in five games, it was because of the offense. It was because of really how Mike Sullivan has led this team since becoming the head coach, where the offense has opened up. They don't mind winning games 6-3, winning games 4-3. They don't care. As long as they score four goals, they feel like they're going to win, and they do feel like the best team offensively, at least, in hockey right now. It's different from how they were playing the defensive style under Mike Johnston. 2-1 was their goal, and they almost kind of handicapped some of the offense. It's not like that anymore. Does this offensive surge give you so much confidence taking in the landscape of the league, especially the Eastern Conference, that even if they face Washington, even knowing how good Washington is, the Penguins playing this way with this offensive mindset, that the Eastern Conference is almost Pittsburgh's to lose, that it's right there for the taking?
I actually think that the Washington, if you have to hear me out for a second, is the more ideal opponent instead of Philadelphia, not for the traditional Philadelphia-Pittsburgh reasoning. What comes to mind and for me is that the Penguins are now a strict transitional offense and that they're generating their speed and momentum through the neutral zone, and they're basically counterattacking, and you're seeing a lot of goals scored off the rush as opposed to setting up and cycling, which is they're still scoring that way, but that's happening via the third and fourth lines, which is traditionally the way it should be happening. The Capitals are a team that love to fly north, and you've been hearing this a lot recently on television and radio. They're a north and south team. What that basically means is they want to move the puck forward. They want to be entering the offensive zone with speed, with the puck, with possession, and the Penguins are excelling at that. Historically, they've been a terrible team. It's been dump and chase, and they haven't been able to retrieve the puck. And the problem with the dump and chase is that if you try a dump and chase and you fail, you immediately have one, if not two, players back behind the line of defense and the puck is going in the other direction. The Flyers play a neutral zone trap, which historically has given the Pens fits, but the difference with this Penguin system right now versus in years past is that they're adding support in the middle of the ice, whereas before that wasn't there. Bo Bennett in particular, all injuries aside, he has always seemed to struggle with the one-touch pass in the middle, because the goal of the one-touch pass is you want to have a defenseman move the puck out of the defensive end, one-touch pass to a winger or center who's streaming down the outside, and then you enter the zone with possession. Hopefully, position, speed, and timing works out. You have yourself almost an instant two-on-one. Bo Bennett, he's not good enough to play the grind game, and he's not good enough to play the speed game because he's not that fast of a skater. So, regardless of the injury situation, he might be the odd man out for the rest of this series and beyond.
That is a bizarre take, but I do understand where you're coming from. And also, even if you go to the historical Flyers-Penguins reasoning, the Flyers are going to beat you up, even if you feel like the Penguins are going to get out of that series, maybe easier than they would with Washington, even if someone would feel that way. It's potentially going to be such a physical beat up type of series with Philadelphia that it would make you weary for the conference finals, even though the Penguins would probably still be favored in the conference finals against any of the teams they'd face and the Lightning, who right now look like the best of the bunch. don't have Stamkos, so that would even be more reason why the Penguins would be favored. It's still never ideal to play Philadelphia. It's just never ideal to play Philadelphia because you just don't know what can happen. You don't want anybody to get injured. You don't want anything to occur that's going to hurt you throughout the rest of the playoffs, even if you beat them, and that's all possibilities in a series against Philadelphia. Now, Michael, Malkin dominated game four. Phil Kessel came alive today. We've seen Crosby earlier in this series have the flashes of being the best in the world, but he hasn't really needed to be that guy in games four and five when the Penguins' offense exploded without him, really, and got out of the series and got rid of the Rangers in five games. Based on Malkin and Kessel's emergence, and if Malkin and Kessel continue to play at this high level and continue to step up their games, can the Penguins reach a cup final? Can the Penguins go far and even be a champion without having to have Sidney Crosby be the best in the world?
The answer is simple. It depends entirely on whether or not the third and fourth line keep scoring. If any team is able to run out four lines that are puck possession and scoring goals, that's basically unstoppable. Basically how the Western Conference has dominated Eastern Conference in recent years, because the Kings and the Blackhawks, they run out four lines that just keep coming and coming and coming at you.
Yep.
And whereas they have been coming at teams with size, the Penguins are countering with speed. And as it turns out, a lot of teams were following the Western Conference mold. And at least in the case of the Rangers, the Flyers, like their own fan base announced it, they don't have the speed to contend with the Penguins. And the only thing that I failed to mention is that the nice thing about transitional hockey and what has killed the Penguins against the Rangers in the past is if you're flying through the neutral zone, teams don't have the opportunity to drop four defensemen in front of their goalie and block 700 shots. That is the number one asset that the speed is going to give the Penguins moving forward. And if they play any team that relies on that kind of shot blocking, everyone, you know, bunker down the fort mentality, if the Pens are flying up the sides of the ice and they're getting those opportunities to shoot without defenders in front of the goalie, they're going to score goals. So, yes, absolutely, I think they're a cup threat.
It's also about the depth of teams. The reason why the Penguins hadn't had much postseason success since the Cup of 09, they haven't had the depth. They haven't had the bottom six. Yes, Crosby's had his issues. Yes, Fleury had his issues. Yes, there was other things to point to, but most importantly, they haven't had their depth. For teams that win Stanley Cups, you bring up the Blackhawks and Kings with their dynasties recently. Yes, they have all-stars. Yes, there are future Hall of Famers in the Blackhawks in particular, but it's all about the depth. They've been so stacked rolling four lines that any of those four lines can just beat you and produce two, three goals a game, and it provides fear to a team. You need to have that. The role players, a lot of the time, are going to score key goals. The Penguins saw that in their 09 Cup run. It's not always going to be Lemieux and Crosby carrying the load all the way through four rounds. It's just not probably going to happen. And the benefit of having a guy like Phil Kessel, who's another all-star, he started off slow this regular season going over from Toronto to Pittsburgh, but now he's really stepped up, and you give him that security blanket for Crosby, where even if Crosby's not playing his A game, if Malkin and Kessel are, that's more than most teams have. And Kessel playing like this is such a presence, and especially Malkin too, it makes the Penguins really a dangerous team. Do you think Washington's going to get out of the Philadelphia series? I know you said you'd actually rather play Washington, surprisingly, despite their success this year. And they haven't had the playoff success. They've never been to a conference final with Ovechkin, so that could also make some sense historically. But do you believe, though, that Washington is going to get by Philadelphia, even though it's already gone to six, or no?
I absolutely believe that they're going to trounce Philadelphia at one point or another. Philadelphia managed to win the other night via smoke and mirrors. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was close to something like 60-17 in terms of shot attempts. It was just an absolute dominant performance by the Capitals. The only difference is they didn't put the puck in the net. Philadelphia is still Philadelphia. They're top heavy in terms of actual offensive skill. Their defensive line is the people playing down their blue line just aren't that good, aren't that solid beyond like the top four. And they kind of rely entirely on their power play. So if you're Washington, that was what their nemesis was in game five there. They basically have to say, look, whatever you do, don't take penalties, because the Flyers' power play is the only way that they're going to beat them. I think that's actually the recipe for success if the Penguins would play the Flyers as well. I don't think the Flyers can beat the Penguins 5-on-5. I think it would take the Penguins falling to the Flyers' trap and taking penalties and allowing their power play, quarterbacked by Giroux on the half wall, to stand a chance. But I really think that the Pens can handle the – I think the Caps play a game that's conducive to the Penguins' style, and I think that the Penguins are just superior to whatever it is that the Flyers can offer them, provided the Penguins stay out of the box.
That is Michael Traeger spitting the knowledge fire of the Pittsburgh Penguins versus whomever they may face in the second round. You right now still standing as either the Washington Capitals or Philadelphia Flyers. I still got to expect it's going to be Washington. I mean, this would be a ridiculous upset based on how good the Capitals have been this year, finally playing the quintessential playoff hockey that could get them far the last couple years. Philadelphia is struggling most of the season. And if they can get rid of Washington somehow, even with the stats not being in their favor, it would be a historically bad upset to be on the pantheon of other disappointments for the Washington Capitals franchise. But
I'm trying to think. The only other upset I can think of was in like the early 90s when the San Jose Sharks somehow took out the Detroit Red Wings. It's that level of historic upset.
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah, Bob Berry was on that Sharks team, amazingly enough. But yeah, they beat the Red Wings, I believe, 94, and we all know what the Red Wings did after that, getting so mad. They ended up winning a couple cups. They ended up going to a cup final the next year when they had the points record in the regular season, and then they would win more cups in the 2000s. But that would be probably right now, based on how good that Red Wing team was and what they later would become, being a borderline dynasty, maybe a modern day dynasty, that probably is the greatest upset the sport has ever seen, or at least the modern sport has ever seen in, say, the last 40 to 50 years since expansion. This, I could argue, would be on that level, if not greater, because of Ovechkin scoring 50 goals. It wasn't like that was the 98 Red Wings when they had all those stars in their prime. That was the early days of that Red Wing team, and the Sharks weren't expected to do anything, but it's a big upset. But this is on that level. I mean, the Flyers just really were not a contender most of the year, and I would imagine the Penguins would get rid of them. Maybe it'd have to go a couple more games because of the physicality, but I can't imagine the Penguins losing to Philadelphia, even though you never want to play the Flyers. I just figure that the Capitals series got to be worse just because of how good the Capitals have been, but you never know. That would be a historic upset. Wrapping up Game 5, though, wrapping up the first-round series here on the Radio PI post-game show here on the Penns and Chip Airways, Mike Osby, Michael Traeger, giving you the analysis of the Penguins' series win and handily getting by the Rangers and Henrik Lundqvist. Lundqvist gets pulled in a second game of this best of five series. What was that? My quick math here, you're looking at 11-3 the last two games against the Rangers, and I forget the stat, but something where Lundqvist allowed 11 or 12 goals on his last 40 shots or so. I mean, Lundqvist was bad. He just really, really was bad, and the Rangers need him to be at his best because they just aren't on par with the Penguins in terms of talent or roster, really how they were playing going into the playoffs. Now, the controversy that exists, though, this is what I do. I want to sprinkle some negative or at least some annoyance on the broadcast, even though everybody is in jubilation, the Penguins get out of the series, it's five games, they don't have to let a team linger, they're confident, looks like with the landscape, they might have the issue be the second round, but if they get out of the second round, they're really going to be the favorite, and it almost seems like cup final or bust now for Pittsburgh. Everyone's happy right now. The way to make people unhappy is to bring up this potential controversy that exists, and maybe it's not even a controversy because maybe it's an easy answer, but still, it could create some controversy. Murray has played just as well as you could ask him to do so. He's now healthy. He's now back in net for the Penguins. They get through to the second round. If Fleury's healthy, Do you go to Fleury, being your veteran goaltender who's been at an elite level the last 2 years, and you figure the playoff issue cobwebs have been gone, and you were excited to see in this postseason? Do you go to Fleury, or do you stick with the hot hand, and if it's not broke, don't fix it, and stick with Murray? What do you do there in that potential goalie controversy that could exist for Pittsburgh now?
To me, it's easy. It's actually the best possible situation. You go back to Marc-Andre Fleury, assuming he's healthy. And moreover, what's always gotten under – it's always terrified Penguins fans, and for a while it actually terrified Marc-Andre himself, is that first round, that first shot, that first bad goal. You know, is he going to implode? What's going to happen? Is the pressure going to be too much? In this case, he was able to miss the first round for a completely valid, you know, reason with a concussion. And not only did the Penguins win, the Penguins dominated. And so for Fleury, that pressure is off him. He can come back, and it's, from my vantage point, and the team loves him. I mean, it's widely known that he's probably the most popular player on the team. He's able to come back. Everyone's playing well. He'll be a bright addition to the roster. And just in case something should ever happen, the team has 100% confidence in what Murray has been able to do in net. It's a situation that the Penguins possibly can't lose. And it's actually looking down the line, it's one of the best situations the Penguins could have, because I love Fleury, but he turns into an asset that can be moved. And the Penguins have Murray at a very reasonable rate. And we're set in net, especially when you think of Tristan Jarry as well. It's one of the greatest situations the Penguins and greatest problems the Penguins have had in recent memory. But for my money, you go with Fleury. You don't even hesitate with the decision. And you have the ultimate fail-safe in Murray.
Okay. We talked on the Game 4 postgame show, though, and Paul kind of went the other way. He kind of went where if it's not broke, don't fix it, and I want to stick with Murray. So that's the opposite take. And I'm kind of with you, because Fleury is your incumbent, and you would feel more comfortable with Fleury as your starter. And if Fleury would lose a game and you went back to him and have him lose, knowing what you've had the last decade plus and won a cup with him, and now he's been an elite goaltender – then if you stick with Murray, you lose a game, and you lose a seven-game series when you had Fleury healthy, when you have this all-star healthy, it's going to be a polarizing, maybe even bipolarizing controversy, though, because it'll be split down the middle, fans and media. You said you'd go back to Fleury being your starter. What type of leash, though, would Fleury have, knowing what you now have in Murray? If Fleury goes out there in game one against either team, doesn't play well, has some rust, and you lose, and you're down 0-1 in a best-of-seven series, do you go back to Murray? Do you wait for game two if you're down 0-2? Do you then go back to Murray? What has to happen with a leash for Fleury when he returns, knowing he's shaking cobwebs off, he's not 100% healthy, you would imagine, and you now have Murray, who you're confident in, can win a series?
It's a great question, and fortunately, we have a recent example to answer it. It comes down to coaching. Mike Sullivan looked at the play of Evgeny Malkin, and he benched him for the latter portion of Game 3. What happened? Sullivan and Gino had a conversation. They discussed his role. They discussed where Gino was at, what he was capable of doing, what he was not capable of doing, and we saw the result in Game 4. I believe the same thing would happen with Marc-Andre Fleury. If he had a bad game one, Sullivan would take him out and then, you know, look him in the eye and say, tell me, you know, is it just rust? Is it just a bad game? Or, you know, are you off? Give me an honest answer. And I have to believe, you know, given everything we've heard about Fleury throughout the years, that he would give an honest answer. And if Fleury didn't think that he was at 100%, that would be what would happen. And I don't think Sullivan would flinch in putting Murray in net. I honestly think it'll come down to the discussion between Sullivan and Fleury. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury would be the person to say, keep me in, take me out. I really think that's how it would go down. Otherwise, if it came down to Sullivan, I don't think he would hesitate, especially given that he had the gumption to sit Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, although it is a little bit different with a player, even an all-star, all-world player, than your goaltender, because your goaltender has to be your most important player in a playoff series. If your goaltender isn't at his best and is allowing garbage goals, no matter what else you got going on, you're going to probably have some problems. That conversation, though, that you hypothesize of between Fleury and Sullivan, if Fleury would lose a game to start the series, maybe that conversation's even going on tomorrow. Maybe they are going to basically evaluate Fleury's health over the weekend, or maybe even longer, depending on how the Capitals' Flyer series goes. They get the start time of their second round series, and then maybe they're going to have that sit down. He's going to say, "Look, the doctor gave it the okay, but we got rid of a team in five games. Murray's playing well. How do you think you're going to do?" But of course, I can't imagine that any athlete worth a salt wouldn't want to at least try. I would imagine Fleury's going to say, "I got to give it a shot in game one. I feel like I'm the leader of this team. I've won a cup before here. I want to do it," with more mental confidence than maybe he even had before. So I'd imagine he would start the series. Do you think he's going to start the series, or you just would do it? Do you think that's what Sullivan's going to do if you had to put money down?
If Fleury is healthy, that's the big unknown, and I have no idea. Pittsburgh fans in particular, we understand the concussions are completely unpredictable. Fleury could be out for another day. He could be out for another 8 months, and neither would surprise me at all. If he is healthy, I would fully expect him to be the goalie. I really wouldn't expect much of a controversy from the coaching side of things. But if it's even 80-20 in terms of Fleury's health, Matt Murray, I would say, would start net. Unless Fleury is 100% healthy, 100% ready to go, there's no upside in my mind putting Fleury at physical risk or putting the team, you know, their success rate at risk by starting someone who's just not at the top of his game.
It's also now a luxury the Penguins have, because if Murray was still injured and Murray was not able to play in this series, and even if you beat the Rangers in five, can you imagine the conversation, Michael, we'd be having right now? Even if you beat the Rangers in five games still, and Lundqvist got pulled twice, but Zakhov started all the games, and even though he got all these wins, it was 4-3 games, 5-4 games. He was still allowing a bunch of goals, kind of playing like he did in game two, even though you win. And then you have Murray injured, Fleury injured. You have question marks on both of their health. You get out with Zakhov. I'm sure we both would have less confidence in Zakhov beating a President's Trophy team, dealing with a Philadelphia Flyer team, or even if you do that, then a conference final, a Stanley Cup final against the West, those powerhouses. It would just be a different mindset. If it was Zakhov, maybe you'd consider rushing Fleury back, even though that sounds awful to say with his health being concerned. But now that you have Murray in there, and Murray's played so well, you know Murray's healthy, and Murray has some games under his belt now in a Stanley Cup playoff series where he can have the confidence of winning a series, you don't have to worry about that. That concern and that question and that controversy doesn't exist now, because whether it's Murray or Fleury, you probably feel like you can win a series against anybody with how this Penguin team is playing, figuring they're going to play like this again.
And right now, the big difference that's also going along with this Penguin team, and it's funny to say this, given that if you actually look at their injured list, they've missed a ton of man games, is that by and large, they're a healthy team. You're missing Dupuis. People forget that Pascal Dupuis started this season, and ideally, he would be another person who would be on the team. He wasn't playing at his best, and we have no idea, unfortunately, of knowing if he would have, you know, ramped up into better game shape. But, I mean, that was a fairly significant top six loss to begin. Bo Bennett, again, he's the great enigma. He never knew what he could have become. If, in regards to your hypothetical goaltending situation, oh, man, if the Penguins were down, you know, without Murray and without Fleury, I honestly, at that point, other teams know what they would have been facing in Jeff Zadkoff, and I don't think anyone would be intimidated by him. I would have thrown Tristan Jarry in that. And
really?
I would have said, kid, you have nothing to lose. And just sink or swim with that.
Although, I guess, if you get out of a series, though, and Zakhov wins you a series, even if he's allowing a lot of goals, you'd have to go with him over Jarry. But, yeah, I mean, it would be fun to have these podcasts, I'll tell you that. It'd be fun to discuss on the air. I don't know so much if it would be fun to watch the games as a Pittsburgh Penguin fan, and I don't know so much if it would be fun for the players playing those, because – if Zakhov was a starter, win, lose, or draw, you'd have some concern in a second-round series or third or cup final against anybody, really. I mean, that would just be a box of chocolates for Forrest style for any of those playoff games. Michael, before we close up shop here on the first round in the post-game show, have you been watching the rest of the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Any thoughts on the rest of the Eastern Conference playoffs, even the Western Conference. San Jose finally takes care of LA, who they never have really been able to take care of before, so they get out of that series quick. But how good are they? They really weren't, I guess, a favorite coming in the playoffs. St. Louis is struggling with Chicago, as they always do, but leading in the series. There's Dallas and Minnesota, who kind of are team thrown on the wall, even though Dallas had such a great season. Tampa Bay takes care of Detroit, but the Red Wings aren't your older brother's Red Wings team. Zetterberg and Datsyuk both don't get any points of the series, so what can you really expect to fight Dylan Larkin? The Lightning don't have Stamkos, though, even though they were impressive in round one. And then you got Florida and the Islanders, who Pierre Maguire called the most underrated postseason series that he's seen in a while. Any thoughts on the rest of the field since the Penguins do advance?
Yeah, I'll try and go through them one by one. I watched the Islanders and the Panthers last night, and Jaromir Jagr is amazing to watch. I know Penguins fans, you know, they have some lasting, you know, animosity toward him because of the way he left and the way that he toyed with coming back, but he can still skate with players, and the way that he is able to use his rear end, his body position, and just have control of the puck in the offensive zone, he nearly won them the game in overtime by occupying two people and chipping the puck forward for a two-on-one. I actually think the Islanders are going to beat the Panthers because the Panthers just don't seem to have much in the way of team speed, and the Islanders definitely have it in bursts with Tavares and, you know, Okposo, who is the ultimate Penguin killer. If you go to the Capitals and Flyers, I think the Caps are going to win. They're playing dominant hockey. They had one stretch where they didn't score last night, but they maintained possession for a minute and a half. They had lower zone cycles. They had high weaves going on. They had everything happening. They were tremendous. The team that looks best out of the West is Dallas, and that's simply because they have the individual scoring talent. Jamie Benn's goal, early goal, last night was just an absolute thing of beauty. That's probably the one team in the West I don't want to face. I think Chicago, they're beginning to come undone. And San Jose, it was great that they finally got past the Kings, but they allowed a 3-goal lead to evaporate before they finally put them away. Until a team is able to actually physically get there, same thing happened with the Penguins in 2008. You have to get there before you can win it. And I have no faith in the Sharks getting there. But, yeah, I would say Dallas is the team that looks the best, along with the Penguins and the Capitals.
Okay. Do you think that – I'll ask it this way, actually. Hypothetically, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, because the second round, especially if it's Washington, probably could be the round that trips up Pittsburgh, even if it's Philly. It could be the round that trips up Pittsburgh, maybe even more so than the conference final. Out of the teams the Penguins could meet in the conference final, which team scares you the most?
I'd probably say the New York Islanders, simply because they have the scoring. Their power play it's been bad, and it doesn't reflect the amount of talent that team has and the amount of potential that, you know, is there. They play a high speed game. That is, again, it's conducive to the way the Penguins play. But they're the one team that it's just of the teams that the Penguins could face in the conference finals at Tampa Bay. It's great that they beat, you know, the Red Wings without Stamkos, but that tells you more about the Red Wings than it does about Tampa Bay. I would say that it's the Islanders. There's the one team in that situation that I just don't want to play. Florida, I'm not worried about Florida. Like I said, they don't have the team speed. I think the Penguins would skate right through them.
It would be absolutely, though, and I got to get this word in for a show, it would absolutely be asinine if Jaromir Jagr was on another team to eliminate the Penguins, and then he reaches another cup final. Because remember, he went to a cup final with Boston a few years ago, even though he didn't win. My God, he's now eliminated the Penguins already twice in a postseason series since he toyed with them and almost came back a few years ago. And it would be a third time that then would get him to another cup final, a fourth of his career. Lord help us. I mean, I'm with you. I'm one of the bigger Jaromir Jagr fans. I'm always going to support the guy. Not only is he a Pittsburgh sports legend and one of the best Pittsburgh Penguins of all time, but The guy is one of the best hockey players the sport has ever seen. He is a top 10, if not more, player of all time, where he's moving up in the all-time ranks. If he didn't go to the KHL and play there for a couple years, you'd be looking at Howe, and I don't know if I can go Gretzky, but you'd be looking at Howe as being a guy he could knock off. I mean, he is really there in goals and total points, and I just love seeing that from him, especially in his older age. But that would be I don't know if he could come back here. He might not be able to walk the streets. I mean, that would be something. I mean, Carson City Saloon in the South Side would go from having his jersey that says Yagov from his old Penguins jersey to maybe having a bullet in that jersey. If he eliminates the Penguins again.
At the same time, that's the type of, you know, the Penguins, when they won the Cup, they had to go through Philadelphia. They had to take care of, you know, the Flyers. And then they had to beat the Red Wings. They had to beat their demons. And mm-hmm. that's the type of scenario where if they had to face Jaromir, taking Jaromir out, that's just the type of boon that it makes you feel good that you know that you're a team of destiny. I mean, even the Red Wings, you had to take out Hossa too. The traitorous Marian Hossa, who left the Penguins because he thought the Red Wings gave him the best chance.
Well, he made a mistake there, but then he made a smart decision by going to the Blackhawks and getting himself up in that Hall of Fame resume with three cups in his finger, with three rings in his finger. So I think Marian Hossa might have laughed at both the Red Wings and Penguins. I got your point, though. Yeah, that would be that last hurdle to maybe get over, maybe kind of symbolism and maybe part of destiny of the changing of regimes, all the playoff disappointments since 09, Fleury getting mentally strong, bringing in Kessel, Crosby's roller coaster ride, Malkin's roller coaster ride, Letang's, and if they would get over that hump, get to a Cup final again by finally getting rid of Jaromir Jagr, even though he's one of several great players on that team because of their youth, there might be some symbolism that, hey, we finally did this, whether Jagr plays well or not. Getting rid of him would be something. So that would be interesting. And out west, everybody wants to go St. Louis, but I like you said, same thing with San Jose. On paper, you could maybe go there and find some analytic reasons. I just can't buy a team until they have done it, until they prove to me. It's been since I was born, St. Louis has been disappointing in the postseason, despite how well they played in the regular season. Same thing with San Jose. So I can't slip the Kool-Aid until I see something, and so far I've not. Lastly, just back to what you said about Dallas, because you really were slipping the Kool-Aid for Dallas. When I had Josh Joey, who's been on the airwaves here countless times, and I could deem him as a friend of PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com as well as myself, but he was on my podcast I do for the Pittsburgh Podcast Network, the Hauser and Buzza Show, for a shameless self-promotion of myself and what I do personally. Anyway, he was on the show and kind of dismissed Dallas. We asked him about a month ago on what you think of teams out west, what teams could maybe the favorites, and he pretty much dismissed Dallas. But even though all the points they were accumulating and Jamie Benn, he didn't think they played the quote-unquote playoff-style hockey, and he just thought they screamed as a vulnerable team. They kind of have struggled with Minnesota. Why do you think that's a notion that isn't true? Because obviously you're not agreeing with him. What about Dallas do you think actually could take them far, or maybe is it even the other teams that normally are powerhouse in the West are out of gas from all those years and all the wins they've had? Or, I don't know, why are you buying Dallas?
I'm buying Dallas because of the Penguins. They have a lot of team speed and they have a lot of individual offensive talent. They're a team that their goaltending status is in total flux. I think they've changed their goalie willingly already in the playoff series. But they play an up and down, fast tempo. They're just throwing the puck up the ice, and where that makes them dangerous because they're playing against teams that are more built, as you always seem to insinuate, for the playoff grind. They can outskate them, but at the same time, they are not a team that prides itself on playing a disciplined style of hockey. And they're definitely not a team that's going to try and, you know, shut things down, be conservative, you know, let's make sure we have support in a neutral zone. They want people flying, and they want, you know, two-on-ones, and they want scoring chances, and it's just going to be great, entertaining hockey if they're able to make it that far. But I think to Yoey's point is they're just not a team that is defensively sound. They're not a team that occupies or concerns itself with playing Ken Hitchcock defensive, you know, hockey. That's just not who they are, and that's not how they're built. So I can absolutely see why they would not be Yohei's choice, you know, in a, especially a Western Conference, which has traditionally prided itself on playing defensive, playoff, grinded out games. But yeah, I, for the purist in me, I want the style, Dallas Stars to get to the finals against the Pens, because that hockey would be tremendous, back and forth, goals everywhere. It would be the best thing to happen to the sport in years.
That would be an entertaining series. I think maybe in terms of hockey entertainment for the hockey purist fan, that would be maybe the best Stanley Cup final you could get. I don't know if I'd buy that it's going to happen. Another series we didn't even go to is the Predators Anaheim, but I guess it's kind of been a forgotten series. Anaheim having to deal with Nashville in another highly contested series on a team that's been favored with some playoff disappointments, with the exception of the 07 Cup, and maybe Nashville will finally get through. Michael, I'm going to let you go about the rest of your weekend here and enjoy your beautiful baby and wherever you live, even though you didn't buy a new house like I thought you did, but still your house where you're in, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for coming on the show. Any final words for you?
My only final words are that Brian Rust and Connor Sheary, the long-term signings that we got in a few years, they're going to be absolute steals. Connor Sheary is an amazing find. So credit where credit's due.
Yes, absolutely. And that's part of your depth, and that necessary depth to get you through to a cup final. They're seeing it there. They're lucking out finally in a guy like Sheary. And Trevor Daley, I think, is someone else also to bring up. Thank you again to the Blackhawks for allowing the Penguins to have him. He is just another young, sensational player the Penguins could have for a while maybe. And a smart, intelligent, well-oiled machine that the Blackhawks are, that's one of those trades that didn't really get the value they could have got, even if he didn't fit their system, for that asset that was Trevor Daley, that every game is just showing up for Pittsburgh and then some. All right, Michael, thanks for coming on the show. Have a good day, man.
No problem. Thanks.
Michael Traeger, hadn't had him on about the whole season, I believe. Maybe a couple times last year, but I don't remember having him on this year. Giving you the knowledge, giving you the analysis of the game, knowing, you know, showing you that he knows his stuff there. And we're not going to keep you much longer here. The Penguins get through the New York Rangers. They do it in 5 games. They take care of New York like they were supposed to. They were the favorite going in. New York had beaten them in some recent postseason series, but this was a different series. These were different teams. And Lundqvist is just not the same goalie. Sucks to say. Willie Mays struck out every game just about when he was with the Mets, the wrap of his career. And for me, he's the best baseball player to ever live. So Henrik Lundqvist is a Hall of Fame goaltender. A Hall of Fame goaltender. I want that said. Hall of Fame goaltender, maybe even the best goaltender of this era. One of the best for sure. Had to carry the Rangers for so many years. They had an undermanned and understaffed team. They finally give him a team worth something around him, bringing in Rick Nash and company. They go to a conference final. They should have beat New Jersey. They don't. That might have been the best Ranger team he's ever played on. 2012. Believe it was. They, the next year or a year, couple years, get to a cup final. 2014, they get to a cup final. They don't win, they lose, but at least gets to the cup final and soaks up that light once. Last year, conference final again, so more playoff minutes for him where he's carrying the team, a lesser Ranger team than the year before where they're not playing as well despite the roster being similar. They got to watch Marian Gaborik lift a cup against them, I might add, too. That had to be a bitter pill to swallow because he was the offensive version of Lundqvist for so many of those years where he was basically it offensively. Lundqvist was it defensively, and they would lose in the first or second round. And then now you're seeing Lundqvist weaken himself. You're seeing a decline. Lundqvist's season, his worst season in several years, and you're seeing Lundqvist get pulled twice in a playoff series and his team losing 5 games. I mean, that Penguins get out of the series. That's a positive, but as a Lundqvist guy, kind of a bitter pill to swallow, too. But Lundqvist, a Hall of Famer, a legend in the game, but unfortunately, and it's kind of a compliment, too, but unfortunately, Henrik Lundqvist will likely forever become hockey's equivalent to the NFL and football's Dan Marino. So the NHL has finally found its Dan Marino, and it is Henrik Lundqvist. The Penguins get rid of Henrik Lundqvist and company in five games, winning game five, 6-3. Lundqvist gets pulled for the second time in the series. Kessel has himself a game. Malkin had himself a game in game four. Crosby's been decent, not amazing, but decent. Penguins don't have to go to Fleury because Fleury wasn't healthy, but they use Murray, who comes in for Zatkoff, who was up and down, and Murray stands in his head. Murray gets a shutout. Murray plays well. Murray played like you would have expected going into the series when you hoped to have had him in game one. He was injured, couldn't do that, but Murray ends up getting you through the series. Penguins win the series and now wait for Washington or Philadelphia. Most would expect it's the Washington Capitals and Ovechkin and Crosby part two. And the Capitals getting revenge for 2009's postseason series and maybe even for Peter Nedved back in 96, even though none of those current Washington Capitals players probably are worrying about that at all or caring about that series at all. But some cobwebs for the Capitals to maybe shake off if they do face Pittsburgh. And that kind of going to – yeah, that basically would be the de facto Eastern Conference Finals if it's Pens and Caps. If it's Pens Flyers, then it's just all hands are in the air and just – caution the wind to the rest of the cup playoffs, basically, at least in the Eastern Conference. But if it's Penn's Caps, that's going to be the de facto Eastern Conference Finals. The winner of that should get out. And that's going to be a classic, tremendous series, you would figure. Waiting for that opponent, most would expect it's Ovechkin and the Capitals. I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch here when it's the Capitals in the playoffs either. And thanks to Michael Traeger, this has been another edition of Radio Gold here on the Stanley Cup Playoff Postgame Show, Games 5 edition. And that wraps up Round 1 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs for the Pittsburgh Penguins as they advance to Round 2. Thank you to our sponsor, Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractic. Keep going to the website, PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com for all the analysis, the articles, the previews, the game recaps, and as I always say, the asinine entertainment and fun. I am your host, Mike Osti, once again bringing you the Radio Gold, and this was another edition of that Radio Gold here on the Pennsylvania Airwaves, the Stanley Cup Playoff Postgame Show, and the Radio PI Podcast Network.
Don't think shit, stink, pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, it's the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been fooled since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce, lose who? Do something to us. Come on. Talk goes to us. Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us. Who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC
take that.
Easily.
Take that.
Recently, niggas frontin' and sayin' nothing, so I don't speak my piece. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus piece. With my feet. Packin', who want it? Did you want it? Nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty bought a coochie. Now he's the real dookie, meaning who's really the shit? Them niggas ride dick. Frank White push the stick called the Lex. LX, 4.5. Bulletproof glass tips if I want some ass. Gon' blast, squeeze first, ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass.
Bye-bye.
A nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars, and still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment, at my arraignment, no for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up,